John Walden here. I'd like to study with you a little bit in the little book of Philippians in the New Testament. This has often been called the Servant's Epistle, or the Valley of Humiliation between the mountain peaks of revelation of Christ and the Church. I love to study in Ephesians and Colossians, but the little valley of Philippians between them is very lovely too. We are noticing especially the Gospel in the New Testament letters, and the Gospel is mentioned 9 times in this book of Philippians. Now, the people at Philippi were the first people in Europe to hear the Gospel. You read the story in the 16th chapter of the Acts when you have time, and you'll find that when Paul and his companions crossed over into Europe and carried the Gospel there, the first people they visited were the people at Philippi, the Philippians. And the first converts were Lydia, a sales lady, and the jailer there at Philippi, because Paul got put in jail. Possibly also the demon-possessed girl who had been a fortune teller. It's very likely that she was saved too. And some others. Not all the people were saved at Philippi. Some of the people were condemned by the Gospel at Philippi because they rejected it. But many of them opened their hearts, and then they opened their homes, and later on we find out they opened their purses too. When God gets your heart, He gets everything. Now, the Gospel can be preached any place. Paul preached the Gospel down by the riverside. He preached it in jail. He preached it out on the street. And it can be preached to any kind of people. Lydia was evidently a very fine person, while a jailer was such a cruel, hard fellow, very much like the Romans usually of that day, that he could beat the apostles unmercifully and then leave them with their feet in the stocks, their backs bleeding, go off to bed and go to sleep. And God had to awaken him with an earthquake. Read the story when you have time. The effects of the Gospel were simply marvelous. But this is always true because the Gospel, according to Romans 1, is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In Philippians, we read this. Beginning at verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants or slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. All believers were called saints. With them were also the spiritual leaders, the elders, the bishops, they were the overseers, always in the plural in the Bible, and the deacons, they were those who served in temporal things. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the Gospel from the first day until now. Now, many nice things are said about the Gospel here. These people, first of all, had believed the Gospel. If you haven't believed the Gospel, you can't do very much toward telling other people about it. You'd be surprised. Some people don't seem to know what the Gospel is. They say, well, that means the whole Bible, doesn't it? No, it doesn't, because the word Gospel means good news. Or they say, well, that's the first 4 books in the New Testament. Well, they are called the Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the Gospel itself is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. The Gospel is the good news that Christ has a substitute to take your place, who did take your place, and who died for you and rose again, so that you can have your sins put away, so that you can be right with God. The effect of the Gospel was not only that these people believed it, that their hearts were opened and they were convicted and saved, but the Gospel also aroused opposition. Even while I'm saying this, some may believe and others may be infuriated. Strange, but it's always that way. But remember this, your attitude toward the Gospel determines where you're going to spend eternity. According to Philippians 1:25, they had great joy in believing. There was no joy in anything else. There's never any joy except the joy of faith. You'll have no joy in rejecting Christ. You'll have no joy now about it. You know you're wrong, and you'll have no joy in the life to come. The gospel I mentioned is spoken of 9 times in Philippians, and the words rejoice and joy are spoken of 18 times. Somebody has said that's twice for each time the gospel is mentioned. And every time the gospel is preached, there's joy twice. The person who preaches it has joy, and the person who believes it has joy. Well, that's nice. There's joy in heaven, too, over one sinner that repenteth. God is glad when the gospel is preached. But the gospel produced some things in these believers. It produced humility, according to the 2nd chapter, and unselfishness. And in the 4th chapter, Paul said that it had produced contentment in him. He wasn't struggling to try to get everything he could find in this world or try to be important. He was satisfied. The gospel had made him a contented person. Now, unconverted people, unsaved people, sneer at this and look down on this. And they say that contented people never accomplish anything. Well, the gospel brings real heart contentment. It's a wonderful thing to be satisfied with the Lord Jesus. And then he even tells us in the 3rd chapter that one of the ultimate results of the gospel is that our bodies are going to be changed when the Lord Jesus comes back, and we're going to be made like him. We're going to be caught up to be with him. So ultimately the gospel will change us completely, even as to our bodies. Now the Philippians had a real share in the gospel. I'm glad when I hear of people who want others to enjoy it. It's wonderful to believe it. You've got to begin there. If you haven't believed the gospel, of course you can't do anything else. I never take a public collection when I'm holding meetings. I never beg for money when I'm speaking on the radio, because I don't believe this is God's way. I believe that God's way is that people must believe the gospel first, before they can do anything to serve God in the gospel. You have no part nor lot in the matter until you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. But when these people did believe in the Lord Jesus, we find, according to the 1st chapter in verse 27, that their conversation or manner of living was to be as becomes the gospel of Christ. So their life proved, they had a consistent life that proved that they belonged to God. And it's wonderful what the gospel produces in lives. It cleans up drunkards and libertines. The gospel humbles the proud. The gospel makes very unchrist-like people to become gradually Christ-like. Then another thing the Philippians did was to have a share in the gospel in their fellowship with Paul himself. He said, you had fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. One of the ways they had fellowship in the gospel was to invite him into their home. Lydia did this. The jailer took him in and set meat before him, got a meal for him in the middle of the night, and for Paul and for the other Christians. And they continued to do this, he said, from the first day till now. The book of Philippians was written about 12 years after what took place in Acts 16, and they consistently went on having fellowship with Paul. And then in the 4th chapter, in verse 3, he says, I want you to help those people who labored with me in the gospel. There were some people who worked along with him in the gospel. Not necessarily preaching, because some of these were women, and he said that the women were not to preach, but they labored with him. There's much to be done for the gospel and in the preaching of the gospel. The person who sweeps out the building and gets the fire going is serving just as much as the man who preaches from the platform. And then they were set for the defense of the gospel, it says. Paul himself defended the gospel, and so they were partakers with him in this. And then he also tells them that they suffered for the gospel. Now, it costs something to be a Christian, but it costs somebody to bring the gospel to you, don't forget it. It cost Christians a great deal to preserve the Bible to us back in the Dark Ages, and many a person gave his life rather than give up the Scriptures. And we as Christians in this country have gotten soft. We don't realize that it may yet cost us something to live for Christ and the gospel. And then according to the fourth chapter, there are only four chapters in this little book, in the fourth chapter we find out that these Christians were concerned about financing the spread of the gospel. They had sent some gifts to Paul, and he said that he was pleased that they had done so. He said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And he said that the things that were sent from them were an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And he says, "Now my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And Christians who are liberal in their giving to the gospel can expect that God will see that they have what they need. I don't mean by that that they'll be prosperous, that God will give them back $5 for every one they give, as some say, but simply that you can leave your affairs in his hands when you take care of his affairs. Now, this is what the gospel did when it came to these people at Philippi. Paul preached the gospel to them, and they believed it, and then they lived to prove that they had what they said they had. They were happy, and he tells them how they can be even happier. He tells them in this epistle how that they can be anxious for nothing, but leave everything in the hands of the God who really cares about them. Father, we thank thee for thy word and ask thee to bless it to those who are listening. We pray that many will believe the gospel and that all of us who have believed it will be glad to preach it, to support it, to defend it, to live it. Take our thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.